see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad and the air is acid rain.
Bible study. Welcome to Watchmen for Jesus Bible study for tonight. My name is Thomas Gambell. I'm the host of this Bible study for tonight. And we are on the road. We're on the way. To what? I don't know. What do you think? I got a crystal ball or something? They're making it easier nowadays. When they come out with a pink Ouija board, I still can't get over that. A pink Ouija board. Brand new. That thing's been around since, what, the 60s? No, since 600 A.D. But, of course, they commercialized it. And it works. It works. But I find it very... I hate using the word. I can't think of another word. Amusing, which I use that term loosely, that they've made it pink. A pink Ouija board. I went to Robbie's Army Surplus Store to get some keys made or whatever in case I forget and leave my key in the house or something like that. So I had another key. So I went to Robbie's Military Surplus. And I kid you not, I saw a 9mm handgun that was pink. And I saw a pink rifle. Of course, I do know of a pink rifle and one girl that... she is 10 years old. It saved her life of her home invasion like 3-4 months ago. Anyway, pink. Isn't that amazing how they know how to manipulate the thinking? Why would they come out with a Ouija board that's pink? What sense does that make? Well, that's to pull in children to the occult. It's like a landmine. I mean, people don't realize how powerful that Ouija board is when you give it the power by operating with it. Someone said, look at this, a little while ago, sent me a link to a computer Ouija board. So you click it on, and up pops in your whole screen a Ouija board. You click it. There it is. And you move it around and all that. Me doing, if I was to actually do that, you ask a question at the top. Top whatever it is. And you say, ask. It says, then hold your mouse lightly on the pointer and follow it as your answer is revealed. And then it gives you the response. Free psychic reading. Foretelling the future, inner sight, love, tarot, astrology. Family, they're desperate. They are desperate. There's something coming. Come up with stuff like this. So for me, if I actually did it, which I have no way I'm going to do that, but you ask a question, and then you do it. I've given permission on this computer. I've given permission. It's as though I'm playing it. I've given permission to demons. Now, how crazy does that sound? Somebody that doesn't know about demonology, don't know about the truth about demons, yet they go to church. They go to church, listen to the pastor in a mega church, or now they're getting to where you don't have to go to church. You can use a computer. Of course, you're doing that right now. But I can't visit anybody in Washington State or Virginia or whatever, so we're kind of doing it, but ideally, you'd go to a local church and you'd all sit there and listen to piano music. It's boring, but sounds pretty. But you're focused on the words of the songs that come from Scripture. Not Amy Grant singing some type of rock and roll. She's not who she thinks she is. A lot of them's not, and some of them are, but a lot of them are not. I have a Facebook, Watchman for Jesus. On the Facebook, well, that would be Facebook. And I also realized I kind of have a ministry, I guess, on YouTube, and you answer questions, and you make an impact on people. I mean, you're into a trade-off of posting or whatever, and someone at Facebook, for example, writes you a question, man, that's somebody on the other end of that. You know who it is, but, and if, even if there is not them, somebody's reading it, you can impact somebody. I mean, there's already stories of how bullying has caused suicides. I mean, can you imagine? Someone clear across the country or whatever, you start bullying some individual young girl or whatever and cause her to commit suicide. That's significant. It's powerful words. Computer's powerful. Be careful. But also it can work good, too, if you answer right. That's why I take it serious. You run a ministry. Kind of. Well, no, you do. Not kind of. You do run a ministry. Because you've just told someone something, and because you, the impact it has on people's lives is just that. Words are powerful. You're a waiter, waitress. Somebody comes in for breakfast. But last night before, you had an argument with your husband, son, daughter, wife, whatever. And you're ill when you get there in the morning. That morning you had an argument with your family member or something and came to work. 7 in the morning, but you had an argument. And you go up to the customer. Can I help you? See, that's customer starting off the day. And your attitude reflects upon that. It's like that can ruin that customer's day all day long. Well, you know, if you don't realize it. And vice versa. You get a customer or something comes in and a mean customer can ruin your day. And then your day ruins the other. And that lasts all day long. The impact we have. I don't get into the butterfly wings affected world government. I don't get into all that stuff. But you have an impact on people by what you say and what you do. Sometimes you'd be surprised how it cascades, but also doing good deeds does too. Sometimes you don't see it. You you'd be really surprised, I suppose, that about the verse that says, entertain strangers unawares, one might be an angel. They can take physical shape, you know. You're talking about God, you're saying, well, I love God, and you're trying to witness, and then you go get something to eat, or you go to a restaurant, well, that would be where you get something to eat, or you go someplace, and all of a sudden you get out of your car, we'll just say. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, somebody pops up and starts approaching you that never would before. You're like, man, look, I need a place, you know, you give me $20 or something. No, it's asking you to give you some money, and the spirit inside says, just give him a $20 bill. Now tell them just go away, because you're assuming they're going to use it for drugs or alcohol or whatever, but you don't know what they're going to use it for. You have no idea. You may actually need it for gas. May actually need it to get a room. May actually need it for something to eat. May actually need it for something. You say, well, no, I ain't going to give it to them. Why? They're probably going to use it for drugs. You don't know that. But let's say they do. See, that's not the test at all. What that person does with it is on them, no matter what. The test is on you. Whether or not you responded. God will test you or allow it to happen. He doesn't tempt. He tests. That little voice will tell you what to do. The supernatural rules. That's what's going on today, and people don't realize it. Yet they go to church, and the Bible that's used in the church they go to talks about demons. It tells you right there. It talks about fallen angels. It talks about how demons affect your body, how demons affect your life, how Satan is there. But how God is there, how Jesus Christ died on the cross. There's supernatural events in the Bible. So people are trying to say, well, no, it's not really literal. Really? It is really literal, too. People want to see supernatural events. Be careful what you wish for. Liable to get it. Because it's coming. Everybody keeps saying that. Well, just be patient. Be careful what you ask for. Because those events start happening. Read the Bible. Same as Noah. The days of Noah. God never changes. No respecter of persons. All these things count. Right now it's by faith. That's why I don't really take to people say, well, Jesus came to visit me last night. Jesus came to me. Well, he came to Paul, he's an apostle, put 12 books in the Bible. Why would Jesus visit people today when he says to Thomas, you believe because you've seen, but blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. So how's that fit in? Angels, yeah. Then I write it and put it in a book. But then this apparition I claim is Jesus that I saw me, that gave me this new knowledge, is against the Bible. Uh-oh. Then they get on Sid Roth, it's supernatural, Oprah, whatever. Things going on in your lives today is supernatural. People go to church. I don't know what they think the Bible's about. I don't know. Because the Bible's full of demonic. They're full of supernatural. It's full of miracles. It's full of giants. It's full of just amazing things that really happened. And yet when you talk about demonic activity, you talk about possession, you talk about how they operate, oh, you're crazy, man. You talk about the love of Jesus, but they still go to church. Well, you know, and they start intellectualizing it. God's not a God of confusion. Well, I see a lot of activity going on that's supernatural. A lot of it's happening. I'm seeing like apparitions and all that stuff, but how things are happening, and you hear of all these, like the Ouija board, and that's important. Those demons want bodies. It's that simple. They want to operate on this plane. Finally, I'm going to dedicate the broadcast here, but finally, people have this impression that the 200 million at the end of time Armageddon is some army that's massive. No, it's supernatural beings transhumanized against Jesus Christ. That's where all this making the body better or faster or digitized or whatever. Because human flesh cannot go up against angelic beings is how they're thinking. So we need to make a better body than the human being. So we're going to clone. We're going to digitize. We're going to use super soldiers. Use Star Wars. You see how this works? To go against that one we think is Jesus Christ coming back to destroy the earth. They think they're going to go to Mars. I'm more and more convinced we hadn't even been past the Van Allen belt. Because the human flesh goes past the Van Allen belt. Heck, a ninth grader can tell you, cook like a goose, that we don't have the materials, that anything that survives out in space must be supernatural. Spiritual. Nothing flesh can survive out in space past the Van. What do you think the Van Allen belt's all about? It's like an eggshell to protect what's inside of it. That'd be us. I can't find the report, but I remember reading several years ago, right after Sputnik, and right after we allegedly had sent men to space, lunar Apollo thing going on, and the Russians hadn't. The Russians finally did, or was it before? Anyway, sometime during Sputnik or thereabouts. I can't find the report. I'm not going to stand by it, but I recall reading where, if y'all find it, let me know, where they had sent cosmonauts, and without knowing, it was like real early, like in the early 60s or something like that, that they didn't make it. When that thing returned, those guys were cooked like a goose because they went past the Van Allen belt toward the moon. And they didn't survive. Now, I can't stand by that, but that's something I heard, and that's why they didn't continue with their space program, was because of that surprise that they got. Anyway. Dedicate the broadcast, and then we want to get started. I'm going to talk about aliens in the Bible, and we'll see where it goes. And I have another subject I may get into. If not, I'll get into it tomorrow night. I'm pushed by my spirit to talk about capital punishment. It's come up many times in many different ways, and I feel I must address it. And if you notice, the past month or two, there's all of a sudden been publicized, botched capital punishment. The death penalty carried out on three occasions were botched all of a sudden. Well, I happen to know that there's an agenda to release all felons permanently and never have any more jails. That's part of the New Age movement. No jails. I happen to know that they want to abolish the death penalty. Do as thou wilt is the whole of the law. To eliminate the death penalty, to eliminate incarceration, because that's part of the New Age movement. And so they would need to have reasons to do that. And now, you see what's happening? All of a sudden, these death penalty, now whether they're wrongly reported or whether they really are botching them on purpose, I can't answer that. All I know is what they're reporting. Would that not want you to say, well, we need to get rid of the death penalty, when actually it's supported in the Bible, of the murder of somebody else, of another person, shed the blood, shed the man of blood. We'll talk about that when I get around to it, either this afternoon, if I get to it, or tomorrow we'll talk about it, whether today or tomorrow or both, in Bible study. It's coming up again. I may talk about it more than once, actually, because this is part or some indicator of the New Age movement taking over, is what I'm trying to get across. Yeah, somebody, a good friend of mine, found that article talking about those astronauts, those cosmonauts. And there's another article, though, that talked about them, that they did come back all cooked up like gooses. Not to be too vivid, but that's why they stopped the space program. They were like shocked it happened, and that we lied that we went out in space. Let's dedicate the broadcast and let's talk about aliens, because that's what's going to change our lives. And there's no such thing as aliens, but this is what's getting ready to hit us. The final threat will be this lie about disclosure and aliens out there. That's going to foment the falling away of the church. When we discover that there's aliens out there and they created us. Can you imagine that? A great hoax being played, of course. We'll talk about that tonight. And tomorrow if we have to. Lord, thank you tonight for allowing us to have a Bible study, Father, that you brought us here. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity. Lord, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. Father, give us that guidance, direction, Lord, that we need in these coming times. Father, to give us that extra discernment and wisdom, patience, knowledge, opportunity, and divine appointments that we can share the gospel, Lord, and also that we can share back and forth to each other questions that we have that, Father, the Holy Spirit will answer in our hearts. Give us that patience. Give us that courage that, Father, we see is approaching the times we're going to need it. Lord, we call upon you to allow us, Lord, to sanctify other family members, that, Lord, that we can set the example and help us to keep straight with this, Lord, that keep us on that track. If we start to fall away, that, Father, you'll keep us in the fold, that you'll protect us with the blood of Jesus around for these interruptions or influences that's going to be increasing. We pray for our fellow countrymen and military, out of the military, Father, that the influences of demonic entities and the influences of these supernatural beings that seems to be increasing. As we change the laws, Father, we know that the Holy Spirit pulls slowly away. That Lord, you put us in that bubble of protection that we can influence others in the right way. We pray for children that's being abducted and used in these sacrifices by the Wicca, by the Satanist, and all this like. That Lord, you'll intervene, and that your Spirit will cause even covenants to be taken away from them. That covenants will be broken down, and there'll be conversions, and the covenants will dissolve. That, Lord, that would be a miracle. We pray, Father, for guidance in the Bible studies tonight and tomorrow of what you want us to talk about. And, Father, to bring that word out, far-reaching, as we guide along. Father, in these things we pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Well, these symbols seem like nothing. Tattoos, symbols. People just take them for nothing, but they're powerful. They, when you give them the power, they are like a beacon. It has something to do with frequency vibrations. And the frequency vibrations are like a light going off. It's like a beacon beeping. And invites the supernatural entities to that location. Like a flashlight in the dark. Energy is seen by them. Your desires shows up in colors. This aura thing, I'm not going to get into all that right now, but the colors, the aura, they can tell these colors. They know the colors change. If I get mad, angry, it changes the aura of my body. Different color shapes. There's millions of colors. Well, these are frequencies. Frequency vibration. They know that when you're praying and you're fasting, you put off a certain aura. They see a portal opening to your soul to connect to God because your fervent prayer. Why can't you just pray? Why has it got to be a fervent prayer of a righteous man? What difference does it make, right? How do they know? How do they know that there's a righteous man? What identifies that? What's a fervent prayer versus another prayer? It's because the energy you're putting out, the desire. There's even a song about that. I can't remember the song. Anyway, there's a song about the fervent prayer of someone that's getting ready to die versus a prayer for something you want. It's powerful. More than a hallelujah. You can hallelujah all day long. You can hallelujah. When you go to church, everybody says, hallelujah, yeah, hallelujah, yeah, brother, woo, all that sort of thing. But when your emotion, your heart's into it, or you're really got that life and death situation, you're crying about it, you're begging for it, something is missing, and your emotions are into it, whoa, now you got some power going on there. What about Jesus in the garden? He's sweat blood. That's pretty powerful. The fervent prayer of a righteous man. When you're not sincere, that doesn't get through that barrier. Doesn't open up. Well, you see. So when Satan and the demons see that portal opening, that cloud opening up, that you're getting close, that's when they want to have the interruptions. They try to interrupt you one way or another. A telephone ring. Someone arguing. Something physical. Something happens. You miss something to cause you to get distracted from your prayer, from your fasting. It's physics. It's biology, chemistry. See what philosophy has done? Philosophy has taken away the reality of our spirit and soul. I mean, your soul, your spirit, is like you can see a wire that just looks like a wire, but you grab a hold of it, you know. Same thing with a Von de Graaff generator. You ever touch one of those things? You see how the belt going around? So what? Oh, wow, it's real. Well, the same thing with your soul. It's located in your pineal gland. That's where that thing in the middle of the forehead goes on, because that's where your soul's at. That's why the focus is on that. People don't realize some of this. And because light does not have, what's the word I'm trying to use? I'm in thick territory here. because light doesn't have volume. That's why you can have a legion of demons in there. You see, because light does not have volume. So they can occupy the same ground, same pineal gland. So that means when you become possessed, demonized, being possessed are two different things. And I had a discussion, quote unquote, with someone on the Facebook that demonic possession and being demonized, same thing. I said, oh, no. No, no, no. Completely different. We are and can be possessed by the Holy Spirit, possessed by the Holy Spirit, but that's a good thing. When I do an abomination, I rape, I kill, I think, oh yeah, but you know, something nasty, or I take drugs, or I get drunk, or something, Holy Spirit starts pulling away. And it's the same thing as water. If I pour water out, something, or put my hand in a bucket of water, pull it out, it don't leave a hole. The vacuum fills up. Same thing, you pull God away, leaves a vacuum. Satan fills it up with the demonic entities, with the same frequency of what you will match the sin. Sin is like, think of sin as a radio station with different frequencies. That's what it is. It's frequencies. Countless frequencies in the radio. Same with sin. Why the sin of homosexuality is somewhat different? Because it's frequency vibration. Allows that demon to come inside. And then start manipulating your lust. Integrates with your system. They've learned to synthesize this with science. To make synthetic demons. Can you imagine? That's from ELF transmission. So, you get a demon with ELF frequencies. Then you have the projected ELF frequencies from these devices. It's the same thing. Y'all get it? You see how that works? So you combine the two, you got a problem. And let's make him weak. How? We don't need no demon to say, or Satan to say, eat this apple. We'll just give him marijuana. We'll give him a drug. We'll give him drunk. Let's soften down with some pills and psychotropic drugs. Make him weak. Certain demons follow those drugs. Pharmakia, Greek for sorcery. Where are you going? Well, Martha says, hey, Cletus, where are you going? Oh, Martha, I got a headache. I'm going down to the pharmacy to get me some ibuprofen. Okay. It does help headaches. Pharmacy. So if Cletus is over in Greece, and Martha, the Greek wife, would say Cletus, the Greek husband, and whatever Greek they call it, where are you going? I'm going to Pharmakia. He's going to Pharmakia. I know what they call it in Greece. But pharmacy in Greek is Pharmakia, and Pharmakia means sorcery. In Greek. How about that? Pharmakia. Sorcery. Pharmacy. Sorcery. Pharmacy. It's got drugs. Oof. Root words. This all can't go on forever. Something's coming around. Whatever it is, bring it on. That's my attitude. You got the Holy Spirit, whatever it is, he's going to be there. He's going to test us to death, okay? To life, okay? FEMA camps, whatever. Okay, whatever. I just, you know, all this fear pulls away your spirit. So could there be an alien deception and end events? Is that possible? Well, I'm not going to go into what Reagan said. You've imagined tonight, I've had my regular listeners listening tonight. I've played the Reagan tape where he talks to Columbia University about alien invasion and whatever, and we all need to come together, etc. And the UN, he talks about it, and Reagan does. And John Dewey, that the best way to bring people together would be have an outside threat from beyond. I've almost got it memorized. Kissinger talks about it. John Dewey, humanist, father of American education, talks about it in 1917. That's what's really going on. He's preparing for this alien invasion. That's Jesus. They've got them believing that. You see, churches aren't prepared for this whatsoever. We know that there is events, certain events surrounding the end times described in the Bible will include a powerful deception. Even the very elect will be deceived if that were possible. And I've always wondered that years ago, what in the world could that be? I've always thought about it since I started the broadcasting and I started studying the Bible more intensely. What could possibly deceive the very elect? And I didn't have a clue. I just couldn't figure it out. Dots hadn't started connecting. That was about 5 years ago. Matthew 24:24. Says, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. So, there's an interest that's been increasing about the theory that the deception will include alien beings. Of course, now if you've listened to my broadcast on regular occasions now, you hear I hit it all the time. I started connecting major dots when I started reading an Illuminati textbook called Signs of Christ by Harold Belliard. Not a well-known book, and that's how they like it, but they still got to put it out there. That's an eye-opener. When you know the Bible, I can't say I know the Bible, but when you're familiar with the Bible, and I read this jibber-jabber they give them, I see from the softened-down approach that they give them about the end times events, Master Jesus, they take a suitable vehicle. That means a body. That's a suitable vehicle. They tell you just how they, but they do it in a positive manner. That's a good thing. The book is quite interesting. Alien beings from another planet. Odd as it may appear, the theory is entirely plausible from a Christian perspective. You've got old-time Baptist preachers, and I know one in particular, that I said, oh, there's no aliens. Man, his head snapped around. I could hear his eyeballs pop. And there's another person there, and they both looked at me like I was crazy. He said, well, of course there are. I said, what? I said, there's no aliens out there. They thought I was crazy. Well, I was thinking they're crazy for thinking it was. We're both thinking each other's crazy. They're not New Age. Billy Graham believes that there's aliens, 1997, 1993, quote unquote. The Pope does. Everybody keeps forgetting about original sin. That there's a killer for it. They keep forgetting about original sin. Does that mean every alien planet out there that they haven't really found one yet? And if there was one, still I ask, who is your Adam and Eve? Or did our Adam and Eve serve for all of you? Or are we the only cursed planet? I need answers to those questions. If they're going to stand with that stance that there's aliens, okay. And you're went to Bible school, went to biblical college, whatever. You all affirm me into Bible studies, so I need the answer to it. How does original sin fit into it? Did they have original sin and reptilians, original sin? Are they all saved or what? They can be born again? Well, if they don't believe in Adam and Eve, what if they don't believe in Jesus Christ? Does that mean they're not going to? Because they don't even know Jesus Christ when they come landing. Take me to your leader. They're not answering the questions. They just get mad at you. I guess I make a lot of people mad. I don't know. But in any case, I ask these during questions. I need answers. Otherwise, there's no aliens. Well, do what you want, but I'm firm belief that we're the only planet in the entire universe that has life. I believe that the sun revolves around the earth. I believe the moon revolves around the earth. And the earth is the complete center of the universe. And it makes sense because the constellations are there because life is so fragile. So are you Sagittarius or Aries? Who cares? Well, actually, those that's born in the tribes of Judah, the tribes were divided by their star sign. And so those that are born in December of something, those who are born in July, not taking into account the way they were brought up, that's why they keep, brought up the same way. The person born in December is going to be the same as somebody born in December. Likes, dislikes, personality, character, so forth, is similar and different from those born in July. Oh, you wearing that gold bracelet. You must be in July, the Leo thing going on. And sometimes you can hit right on nail. Now, I got to thinking, that's odd. How come they come up with horoscopes and all that? Because family, there's a delicate balance in the universe of electromagnetic energy. And what are we? Electromagnetic energy. And so when those constellations of the sun, the moon, the stars, and all that at certain times of the year or in certain positions, it affects you when you're born with that spark of conception. That spark is electromagnetic energy. Bzz, there you are. It's going to be different in this big pool called the universe. That affects your personality and character. And your soul separates you from all the other spirits. All the spirits would be the same, but your soul is unique. Just like on earth, your face, your body is unique of 4 or 6 billion people. So you're unique by your face. That's why everybody's face is different. Everybody's unique, not reincarnated. You're unique. Then when you get down to spiritual, your soul makes you different from all the other spirits. Because your soul is unique. Because your spirit is in the image of God. There's three of you. That's why we say y'all down south when we talk to one person. See y'all later. What mean y'all? Yeah, your soul, your spirit, and your body. That's three. That's why we say y'all to one person. That's a little bit of a legend. Anyway. See, so your personality character is formed the day you're born. Naturally, if you're born in a family with and without and all this, that has an effect on your life. But your core character is going to be the same as everybody born the 3rd, the 4th, the 5th of December because of where the constellations. So what's the point? The point is, if something changes, like a sun is moved, it changes everything in the universe. It's all connected together like a pond, like a pool of water. One thing changes, changes everything. Everything's a delicate balance. Last part about this. If gravity is changed one little bit, just one little bit of gravity is no longer the same, gases would rise or gases would fall. You couldn't breathe anymore. Things would change. The atmosphere today is not like it was back in the days of Noah. The redwood trees are only in America. Ooh, that's another story. grapes were so big they had to carry them on their shoulders. I mean, things were big back then because the atmosphere was different. Frequency vibration affects the physical world. Changes. When it changes, DNA changes. Particles change. Structure changes. It's like 33 different factors affect life, and you mess with one of them, temperature is just one. There's no aliens out there. There's demons, and there's angels, and there's God, there's Jesus Christ, there's Satan. Everything is supernatural and spiritual. Render to Caesar, which is Caesar's, that's material goods. Render to God, that which is God, that's supernatural, spiritual. Human government is established by God, no matter what it is. God is in control of it. Sometimes he'll put a non-following unbelievers in charge of believers because the believers were disobedient. That's what happened to Israel. So if he put them there, we pray to him to take it away. That's where 2 Chronicles 7:14 comes in. You see how that works? So, the Bible gives us no word, really, about whether or not aliens exist. It talks about demons, talks about giants and all sorts of things, but talking donkeys. That's also possible because a donkey is just a flesh animal. And if a demon is taken over, it has a flesh animal he can work through. It's not the donkey talking, it's the demon inside. A snake could talk too, but it's not the snake talking, for goodness sakes. It's the demon inside using that physical flesh as a method of operating inside this world. There's no inclusion of them in the creation account of Genesis and no mention of them elsewhere. And the Bible does tell us about visitors from another world, the spiritual world. So, since the very beginning of man, the cases of demons, fallen angels, visiting the earth have been witnessed and recorded. They knew what they wanted to do, but mankind had to do it for them. Mankind wasn't smart enough so they had to wait centuries of influence to get man technologically able to be where we are today so they could come into this world. That's the big picture. Tower of Babel was a case of that, of showing the secrets of alchemy to Nimrod, the first mason, to build a tower that they could come through using copper, tin, bronze, alchemy, chemistry, human sacrifice all together, some mishmash of knowledge to allow a portal to open. And God said, nope, not going to do it. Then I guess they'll never learn. Now they got the CERN. I didn't say discern. CERN, C-E-R-N. Portals. A scientific achievement. God's getting ready to shut it down. See, all God's got to do is change the frequency vibration of the norm, and they got to start all over again. He changes it, they got to upgrade. He changes it, they upgrade. He changes it, they upgrade. He keeps them going all the time. That's why you got a 1G phone, 2G, 3G. That's why the computers can't never stay the same, because he keeps changing the frequencies on them. Hey, they can't never rest either. They can never stop. They can never catch up. It's got to be frustrating. We know of Eve's encounter with Satan, that demons are interested in monitoring and altering the progress of humanity. We know that already. They want to be involved with the goal of drawing humanity away from the worship of God and turning mankind's attention to them to be worshipped. And family, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we worship demons every single day. January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September. Every day of the week, I don't have it in front of me right now, but every day of the week is a worship to a fallen angel. Sunday, sun god. Saturday, Satan. You got it now? Friday is another one. Wednesday is another one. That's where the days come from. It's a worship of a fallen angel. That's where the holidays come from. Every single cotton picking one of them. And birthdays are worship of individuals. Another notable case of interaction is found in Genesis 6:4. I talked about this past week. The arrival of the sons of God. Man, they're trying to obfuse that so bad. They're trying to hide that because it's getting close to disclosure of the fallen angels to be ascended masters and aliens. Sanan Emmanuel, you've heard me talk about this over and over. Well, now they're trying to diffuse it, obfuscate it. That's all, folks. Obfuscate it, to hide it. That the sons of God are the sons of Seth. No, it's not possible. But they really got some good arguments. If you know your stuff, you can fight them, but they don't want to hear it. They don't want you to think that that's really the truth, that these are really aliens going to show up or ascended masters. Seems we're close. The Genesis account states that these powerful beings had sexual intercourse with women and produced a super race known as Nephilim or Raphim in the Greek, in the Hebrew. English, it's called giants. The King James is called giants. NIV Bible uses the nebulous word of Nephilim. It's more sensational. We say giants, it's like, we don't want them to know that. It kind of sounds like something out of science fiction. It's right there in the Bible, though. You have other cultures that have similar stories, like the Sumerians. And they try to equate to what's in the Bible. But the thing is, Satan is the influence of the other Bibles and writings. He knows what's going on. He's going to copy it. Consequently, those that have allegiance to him, like the Sumerians or the Mayans or whatever, he's going to give them the inspiration to write similar stories because he's a deceiver. That's what it's all about. It's hard to explain to somebody that don't want to hear it. The presence of the Anunnaki, who are deities that came from heaven to dwell on earth. Sumerian gods often came to them in the form of snakes, by the way. Would it surprise you then to find out the mythological gods of Greek that you learned in college, Greek mythology, were real? But not real in the sense that they were natural mistakes, but angelic beings that took on those shapes, including dragons, because they were the UFOs in the 1950s. They took on that shape. They can manipulate their forms, the highest level of fallen angels. Were the UFOs that were going 4,000 miles per hour, reported by B-52, all, you know, flyers back in the 50s and 60s, and doing right-angle turns, and they'd always say, well, nothing physical could do that. They're right. It's supernatural. Taking that shape and form. And then manipulating DNA. Causing like a bird to become a reptile. Not by evolution, but by guided evolution, by manipulation of DNA using alchemy. Yeah. And so, they're going to come, and they're already doing it. They're setting up, and they even have websites. The accounts alongside include amazing things created by ancient man. It makes it possible to theorize that demons in the form of beings from another world came to earth, bringing spectacular wisdom and knowledge to men. Oh, yeah. You see, intermarrying them with the daughters to draw men away from God and change the DNA. And they use the temptation of superior wisdom to ensnare man. Man is susceptible to it. Now, are your dots connecting about now? Will they use the temptation of having superior knowledge? Does Freemasonry come to your mind? Every degree they go up, they learn some new secret that someone else below them don't know? Is that not a lure or what? Is that not significant? Consistent? I know something you don't know. Tell me what it is. I can't do it. I can't do it. When you get to my level, then you'll find out the same secret. But now you're not at my level. And then the degree above them say, well, neither one of you are my level. You see how they got them hooked? Hooked and crooked, snafu'd. And I had a Freemason tell me, it got out, and he told me, oh man, all they do is give you some silly little secret every degree to keep you pulled in. Sometimes ones in America never get past 13th degree. But you have some Shriners at 33rd, I know. But the majority stay low. The highest level of Freemasonry is in Europe, England, and so forth. So could the end times include a similar alien deception? Certainly plausible, the alien deception. The Bible tells us that the world will unite under the power of the Antichrist. The world will unite. Why? Because of the threat to the world. The Antichrist will come in like a man on a white horse. No pun intended. Yeah, pun intended. And save mankind from this outside threat. In order to achieve an agreement between the world's religions, that's happening. It would make sense for the, not the decider, but the uniter, to come from an entirely new source, an extraterrestrial source, a neutral source. Because they wouldn't accept one religion becoming ahead of another. Unless some unearthly knowledge were the source of the appeal and the power of the new religion. That would be in keeping with past deceptions. Keeping large numbers of people. I happen to know, in addition to extra research that I've done, I know the answer to that, actually. I know specifically that the one called Sananda, Emmanuel, the one calling himself Jesus or Yeshua, I know it is right in the Illuminati textbook, it is documented that he will assume the role of the following. This one fallen angel, this one alien, will assume the role of Krishna, the Imam Mahdi, Bodhisattva, B-O-D-H-I-S, A-T-T-V-A. Yeah, I got it. The Prince of Peace. Well, we know who that is. The Christ. Lord Maitreya. He'll fill all those at wall at once. That brings everybody together. That's why they're trying to bring all the religions together. You see what they're doing? Oh, I forgot one. And the Kalki, K-H-A-L-K-I, Kalki Avatar. That's a mixture of Islam, Christian, Buddhist, New Age, all in one man, Sananda Emmanuel, the false prophet. The Antichrist has to be quasi-human, pseudo-human, but it has to be human, not another fallen angel, for Satan to come inside that body. For possession. That's what the Bible says, right? At mid-tribulation. So it can't be another fallen angel. It has to be one of their hybrids. So in order to achieve an agreement between all the world's religion, he has to come from a new source, extraterrestrial source. Also, the deception would provide an answer to the problem of Earth origin, where we came from. The theory that the evolution of life on Earth was spontaneously generated still has no answer for our beginnings, as I tried to explain a little while ago. There's evidence for a Big Bang, but that's a little bit convoluted. Still doesn't explain what caused the Big Bang to occur. If alien beings arrived and gives us the extraterrestrial explanation for life on Earth, the origins of the world religions, and even the origins of our planet, it would have to be very persuasive. But that's where they stop. I don't like stopping there. I'm going to say, well, big boy, where'd you come from? Are you the one spontaneously created yourself or something? Keep asking the questions. That being said, we shouldn't fear it. The Lord said that He will not leave us or forsake us. He'll protect us. 1 Kings 8:57, Matthew 10:31, and Isaiah 41:10. Isaiah 41:10, Matthew 10:31. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Demons and angels are not omnipotent, nor are they omnipresent. They have no wisdom nor discernment, but they got a whole lot of knowledge. But that's about it. They're banking on their knowledge defeating Jesus Christ from coming back, thinking they're going to harness His creation against Him. That almost borders on stupidity. But Jesus said that in the end times, His appearing would be like lightning, easily visible to everybody. He said he would be wary of anything that says, I am Christ. He told us to be wary. I'm the Christ. You're getting that already, aren't you? And there's one in Russia that they all prepare. We're waiting. Yeah, we're waiting for Him. He'll come walking down a pathway and he sits in this stupid thing, whatever. He's got a long beard and a white gown and I don't know what. Oh my goodness. Any group that says He's over here, He's over there. Matthew 24:23-24. He said the vultures gather around a dead body. Means that if you see a group of people gathering around someone claiming to be Christ, that person is death. And a false prophet. That's why they're vultures. Also beware of any person that or being that produces signs and wonders without biblical fidelity or the presence of obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that includes so-called truth tellers. It tells you all this stuff about the Nephilim. They got books and CDs and they got all this stuff going on and lectures are internationally known. And they got really good knowledge about the Nephilim, really good knowledge about aliens and all this stuff, you know. But they avoid the King James Bible. They turn it down. They say, no, it's corrupted. Or I really like it, but, you know, there's better versions out there. Or it's got a lot of errors in it. They can never tell you. I'm done. Eat the chicken, spit out the bones. Anybody who provides a way to unite the world religions or governments Revelation 13:5-8 And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given to him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So any being that promotes unnatural sexual relationships, hello, same-sex marriage, mark of the beast becomes part of your body. Genesis 6:4, Jude 1:6-7. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, tells you right there, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, also, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Jude's quite an interesting book. Maybe we should do a Bible study on it one day. Strange flesh. Of course, any person that denies Jesus as God, 2 John 1:7, and furthermore, anybody who presents a substitute Jesus represents him as a God, but not of God, or not the God, and claims he was merely a good teacher, simply a human, or even a superhuman or alien creature, is a deceiver. 1 John 5:7, Father, the Word, and the Son, the Holy Ghost, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost are all one. And if demons manifest as aliens as part of the end times, remember that they too are created beings. They're subject to the sovereign God. They answerable to him, him alone. Whether in alien form, if they were or not, descriptions of demons in Revelation are actually quite frightening. It talks about it in Revelation 9. 1 to 12, it talks about the star fall from heaven, from the earth, given the key to the bottomless pit, to hell. He opened the pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, and as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. That's hell. That's where they go if their frequency is caught. They're put into the abyss. Remember when the legion of demons said, don't send us to the abyss. Don't send us to there. Put us in those swine. Because they don't just hang around at Starbucks. So they wanted to go into a body. If it's a pig, so be it. Well, the pig said, hey, so be it. We're going to go swimming. And they all died, right? I don't think the demons anticipated that. But there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth had power. Now people are trying to tell you, oh, that's helicopters. No, it's not helicopters. God will not use anything man-made for his end time tribulation. He don't need a nuclear missile like Zechariah 4. That's not a nuclear missile. That's a scroll of judgment. Man, there's people going to argue till they turn blue in the face that Zechariah is at 4 or 5. Anyway, Zechariah that that scroll, flying scroll, is a missile. They'll argue left and right, front and center. Oh, that's a nuclear missile. God's not going to use anything man-made. He don't need anything man-made. He doesn't depend on man. Not one iota. Nothing. Everything's going to be supernatural. It's commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God on their foreheads. I don't know what that is. I have no idea. That's God's business. Just want to make sure I got one. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as a torment of a scorpion when he strikes a man. In those days shall men seek death, shall not find it, shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. In other words, they're trying to commit suicide and can't do it. See, man used to live over 1,000 years. Now you see about the millennium. Now you see about the millennium. If God wants them to live, wants man to live 1,000 years, they'll do so. That's what they did before the flood. Then when man screwed the pooch on that and messed up, as some people say, went down to 120 years. And then in Acts, it went down to 70 years. Four score, three score and something. Well, Psalms 90 verse 10. Went down to 70 years. When the fig tree bloomed, the parable, 1948. It's significant. Had 70 years. Because it talks about 70 years in Psalms 90 verse 10. And then the fig tree bloomed when Israel took over. Although it's fake Israel. God used the fake Jews in Israel today to lay the groundwork. Add 70 years to 1948, it becomes quite interesting. Anyway, the lifespan of a human from 900 years, 1,000 years, to 120 to 70. And the shapes of the locusts were likened to horses, prepared into battle. And on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold, and their faces were the faces of men. It tells you what it is. That's weird, isn't it? They had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, as it were breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was the sound of chariots and many horses running to battle. Now, I don't know part of that. And they had tails like unto scorpions. There were stings in their tails. Their power was to hurt men 5 months. They had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon. But in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more after. Now, for those that say that we're already past end times, when did that happen? I must have slept through one. How do they do that? How do they tell you we're already in the sixth trumpet? How do they do that? They count on people not knowing the scripture at all? Well, we should not fear those who can kill the body, but only him who can kill the body and the soul in hell. Matthew 10, verse 28. No matter what happens to us on earth, we have to trust that the Lord is his Savior. Redeemer, Protector of souls that put the trust in Him. On the final thrust tonight, what if they proved to other people that aliens did exist? Which apparently they're going to do that already. People already believe it. Believe it or not, theologians, astronomers, and science fiction fans and writers have contemplated the question long and hard. Freemason H.G. Wells started it all. 1897, 1898, when he wrote the novel War of the Worlds. He was channeled. He got the picture now. How Satan works. About 15 years later, John Dewey, they're all planning extraterrestrial while we are happy days of here again. World War One, well, World War One didn't happy days of here again. All that going on to keep people busy, distracted. And nothing new under the sun. Debates have narrowed down to where the problems would arise, and a pair of variables have a definitive answer. The most commonly discussed issues, when they discuss this, what if aliens existed, is that of the identity and work of Jesus. God sent His only begotten Son. God incarnated human flesh to save mankind and redeem creation, which He did. But does that redemption include life on other planets? Is going to be the question for the major people. Or would God have manifested Himself on those other planets as well, in the manner of an Asian or Narnia? Does only begotten mean only physical representation? Or is it more limited, referring only to the human species? Comes the questions now to pin them down. Well, another consideration would be otherworldly sediment, advanced life forms, sin in need of redemption in the same way we do. Apparently the Pope and them think so, because they're getting ready to baptize an alien or something. Oh, I'm dead serious about that. They've got this all set up. Human life is where? In the what? It's in the blood. Life is in the blood. Why? Because you're dying, and the blood keeps you alive. When you're immortal, you don't have blood. When you take on a physical body and you're a fallen angel, you need blood, buddy. Now you get to kind of get the idea there of these movies. I drink your blood. You got the picture? Where is the life of these hypothetical aliens? What would have to be sacrificed to save them? And could human blood of Jesus save a silicon-based glass creature? And this sin was melting, reforming themselves into unnatural shapes. I don't think so. Something else they talk about. What it means to be in the image of God. You see, God has no physical body. We take this to mean that the reflection of God's non-physical aspects is rational, morality, sociability. Well, begs the question. Would aliens embody the same characteristic? We don't really know if that were the case. One issue rarely ever talked about is the impact of the young earth creationism. Kent Hovind, which I like his work. Creationism, by the way, they put him in prison because of avoiding taxes or something. He was killing them on creation and versus evolution. He's tearing them up. Creationism is the discovery of alien life. It's conceivable, but highly unlikely, that the geological pyrotechnics that Big Bang. It took place during the global flood or after the global flood. That could have spewed out some bacteria or lichen-tainted stone all the way to Mars. Really? They found shelter in the Misty Canyon. Wow. But any life form more complicated or further out would be a lot harder to bring together or harmonize with a reading of Genesis 1 that had God here by some flying meteorite. Could demons have taken the trees and shrubs and rodents and bugs to another planet with some kind of environment similar to Earth? Yeah, I guess it's possible. You could stretch it a little bit. But without the spirit of blessings of life, it's unlikely any of them would have survived. Any small change would have made a difference, if that's the case. How about parallel creations? Maybe. The Bible doesn't mention parallel creations. But then again, there's no reason why God would have to tell us about them if they really existed. What if they found a more advanced race? Way beyond us. Be very interesting to see if they had stories about creation and sin and redemption and omnipotent, all-seeing deity and so forth. The Bible would have to be even more external validation. If not, well, we'd have a mission out there, some planet. They already talked about that, haven't they? We're going to go out. As a matter of fact, that's what Billy Graham said. We're going to evangelize other planets in 1997. That's what he said. Huh, now to remember it, to evangelize other planets. Billy Graham said that. That's a setup. Wow. Now considering what we know about space and life, and the world as God sees it, we already have an explanation for these alien activities on Earth. Reports of close encounters of the third, fourth kind, or whatever. That talks about the ethereal, transit, the deceptive, the malevolent. How about the one on Independence Day? And in the very beginning of it, they had one of those creatures in a laboratory, and they had a dramatic, you know, where he killed a bunch of people, and they finally corral him, and they're all got him there. He's on the other side of the glass, and they say, "What do you want from us?" And the being says, "I want you dead." That's what they want is dead. The fallen angels, that's what they want. They put all this stuff in movies. Accounts record that encounters with supposed aliens can be stopped by a real, authentic call to Jesus. Everything points to the activity of demons, not extraterrestrial. There's reports of people waking up with those little gray bubblehead kind of beings. They called out the name of Jesus and they left. These are actual reports. That I believe. They didn't hold up a cross. Back, you, back. Or go run to the pantry and get garlic. Or throw salt over the right shoulder. I don't know, whatever. Maybe they're like snails. You go salt one of them. I don't know. Call the name of Jesus out. Nah, now you get somewhere. The discovery of alien life would have no effect on genuine belief in Jesus Christ. But those lukewarm, it would. The Bible stands as written, and there's nothing in it that would absolutely contradict the existence of extraterrestrials. But then the questions I've asked already would seem to do that with the answers that you would get. If aliens actually existed, they exist within God's framework of creation, if they really did. God cannot be hurt by truth. Those who walk by faith love the truth. John 16:13. And this assures us that the Spirit will guide us to all truth. Nothing that happens in this universe is a surprise but to God. If aliens existed, God would let us know what to do with that information when the time comes. But what have they done? They've made sure we don't have it that way. They've made sure that when this disclosure happens, they're going to say, we created you. Not that we worship the same God you do. Nah, no. Their creation, their Hollywood on steroids, is going to say, we created you. Prometheus. The movie set up us for that. The fallen angels actually have contacted human beings throughout our history. Sir Francis Bacon, Helena Blavatsky, Alice Bailey, Leonardo da Vinci, Nikola Tesla, Plato, Michelangelo. Oh, you getting the idea here? A lot of these are avatars. Other fallen angels are cellos from birth. That's the real history. Where do we get Jesus from? The picture of Jesus, blonde hair, blue eyed, Caucasian, green eyes, or whatever. Where'd he come from? Leonardo da Vinci, the Last Supper. I found documented Leonardo da Vinci was an avatar. His name is specific. I said, oh my, because that means he was channeled with this idea of the Last Supper and painted it, Harmony, Beauty, and the Arts, one of the seven of the seven Ashram rays, with this picture of a Jesus that's blonde-haired, blue-eyed, whatever, in the background, and then looks like a woman next to him. That helped foment the belief that Mary married Jesus, and they're playing footsies on the table or something, I don't know, whatever. That's where that comes from. Well, Jesus Christ of Nazareth is from the Middle East with short hair, dark skin like bronze, and hair like wool. It's described in the Bible. The Jesus we see as Jesus is not that. Look at Sanan de Manuel. Look at Charles Maine. Others that look like the Jesus we think is Jesus is not Jesus. How about the shroud? The shroud can't possibly be real. Why? Because in the Bible, it talks about the prayer, the cloth was placed over his face. He wasn't wrapped fully. Jesus wasn't wrapped fully. He wasn't a full mummy. That shroud shows a full mummy. Not your mommy, but a full mummy. But look it up in the cloth was laid over his face. Separate. The cloth was folded away from the body of Christ. It means it wasn't together, wasn't wrapped up like, say, Lazarus was. People miss these little things. You know, they miss this when they want to get all excited about the shroud being real. It's not real. Now, it might be real about Sanan de Manuel in preparation for the future. Now, that's a possibility. The biggest hoax ever played on mankind is the coming. The great deception. Lukewarm Christians are going to what? Fall away. The movies have been our core education. 50-foot man back in my day, 50-foot woman. Oh, how about Nephilim on that one? All through our movie history has set us up for this. And while we're watching and enjoying eating popcorn, it's coming into our minds, setting up our core belief automatically. And all needs is people of status, trust, to push that button, and you're already set up. And we've already proven, over and over, almost memorized the quotes by now, how all our schools, including public schools, since the day they were ever created, are schools of humanism. I don't know if that impacts certain people, but for me, that tells you. They've been corrupted since 1908. All public schools, all colleges and universities are Marxist socialist. Always have been. Monitored by Freemasons, Eastern Stars, Wicca, and all our education. Come on now. Wow. And that's why. And we didn't even know it. Absolutely amazing. We're at the end tonight. Right on target. Y'all. Appreciate y'all dropping by. Nobody brought me any apple pie or coffee, but that's okay. We'll see y'all tomorrow night, and we'll talk about capital punishment in the Bible as it relates to the Bible. I have another study. I don't know, it'll be about capital punishment or the race issue relative to the Bible. Intermarriage, race, conflict, and so forth. I have two teachings that I've prepared up. Is capital punishment or aliens, excuse me, I did that tonight. Or race discrimination, how the races were formed, and racial characteristics and so forth. We'll see where God leads me on that. Tomorrow, we'll continue on with witchcraft. We'll continue on about discussing about witchcraft and the evils of it. I'll talk some more about the Ouija board tomorrow. What to watch out for, what to get away from. Some other things we'll talk about. Remind me, we'll talk about deliverance. At least the solution. We're played up at highpointradio.net, highpointradio.net, New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. John Kirkler, talked to him today. He's in good spirits, and he's losing some sponsors up there because the small businesses are going out of business. That's happening here in Mount Airy big time. I told him, you know, there's people working on that North American Union getting rid of small businesses, and you all know that already. It's making a big impact. Let's close in prayer and move right along here. Any suggestions or comments or questions about tonight? Because it was a little difficult tonight to broach this subject. But it's a coming. This subject is not ambiguous. It is. It's going to be a part of our lives in the future. Lord, we thank you tonight. We come together in prayer. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity. Thank you, Lord, for our families. And Father, thank you for guiding us, giving us that Holy Spirit, leading us tonight. Father, thank you for this life that you've given us. Father, we do ask you, guide us along the way in divine appointments, that, Lord, we can spread that gospel and keep us straight, Lord, to lead us away from temptation. And, Lord, put us in the right direction with wisdom, discernment. Father, to give us that knowledge during the Bible studies that, Father, we can use it in our lives. We ask you to heal our families, touch their hearts of those that's not with the fold, that, Lord, that they'll have that spark that we'll be able to witness to them. And show us, Father, in your time about these end times events, the truth through all this deception we're getting. Father, we ask for forgiveness of our sins. And Father, to convict us when we fall away. We thank you, Lord, for your Son, Jesus Christ, and Lord, your holy word, the King James Bible. In these things we pray, in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Y'all have a good night tonight now. And just listen to the Spirit in your heart. He's going to talk to you, but not audibly. When you hear that audible voice, start to worry. The inner voice, listen. Because in Christ alone is where he stands. He talks to your heart. Have a good night. And God bless y'all. This is the Watchman, signing off.
Drought and storm, what heights are left?